Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you turn in your Bibles there, please, for a few minutes together. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we put in your bulletin a number of things about Deuteronomy chapter 6. The fact that it is the number one passage in Scripture with regards to instruction and encouragement for raising children. Now, there are other passages, and I may, if we have some time, mention some of these, but this is been called the number one passage in Scripture for raising children. And it's not only for parents raising children, but Deuteronomy chapter 6 has some tremendous application for all believers of all ages in their relationship with God. The interesting thing about this passage is that the Lord is going to ask the children of Israel to remember His Word. And reminding me when we see these things, one of the great gifts and blessings that we have is our memory. Now, for some of us, we say, and I've heard it said, my memory is not as good as it used to be. Well, I didn't bring a test here to test you on your memory, but you have some memory because you're here this morning. But sometimes we say, wow, you know, my memory sometimes needs a little jog. What is memory? It's the ability to remember things, to bring back the mind, to recall things like, I remember I have a doctor's appointment this week, and it's on Wednesday, it's on 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Or sometimes somebody will say, oh, I remember I left my coat over at the other place. So our memories work, it's just sometimes they're not as good as we would like them to be. But it's a tremendous gift from the Lord. In fact, the Bible, we looked at this before, tells us to take care of our minds. Take care of our thoughts. It says take care of our bodies too. But take care of our minds. And remember to put the right things in so that we in turn can function right before our Lord. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 6, the Lord said to the people of Israel through Moses, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Did you notice that very clearly? These words the Lord said through Moses to His people about to go into the promised land, these words shall be in your heart. Now, there is a study sheet in your bulletin, and it's called Biblical Principles for Raising Children. And it's based on the passage before us, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so on that study sheet, this is going to be number 2. God's Word must be in your heart. And it's amazing, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there's these encouragements to allow the Word of God to become part of our heart and thoughts. Psalm 19, verse 11, the psalmist said, your Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So when we learn Scripture, it is amazing what the Lord does to protect us. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin, that I might have victory over sin. And this is why the Lord wants us to teach our children the Ten Commandments. I still remember we used to have the kids come from across the street when it was DeLay Middle School, and we'd have them come over on Thursday mornings and Thursday after school. And most of the years, not every year, we started with the Ten Commandments. And we take one a week and we talk to the kids, encourage them. This is what God gave. We're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. God gave us the Ten Commandments to show us that we really need Him. And But I still remember that one. I don't know why. It just sticks in my mind and thinking. But this little guy said, I said, now the one today is thou shalt not commit adultery. And a boy's, little guy's hand went up and he said, I have no idea what adultery is. he just didn't use the term. Can't blame him, you know. So I told it what it was. One spouse being unfaithful to another spouse. And, I get it now. He said, I understand what it is. And I said, you know, adultery can be forgiven. All kinds of sins can be forgiven. Matthew chapter 11. However, there must be the turning to the Lord for the forgiveness of sin. So that is principle number 2 in your list there. Much of God's Word was written in such a way that it's conducive for memorizing or remembering. Even the Ten Commandments themselves were given in such a way that even children can remember what God has said. in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, Solomon said to his son, "Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet or the table of your heart." It's very interesting that the Lord is telling the people of Israel, before they go into this promised land, which is going to be a place of tremendous blessing for them, He wants them to remember His words. They're powerful. Let me illustrate this a little bit. I just read this past week. There was a biology teacher who stood before his class one day with two seeds, one in each hand. And he said, and he opened his fingers a little bit and he said, "Look carefully at these seeds. Both have the same ingredients to form them. They are both made of the same substance. But if I plant this one in my right hand, it's going to rot away. But if I plant this seed in my left hand, it's going to go into the ground, it's going to die, but a new plant and new life will come from it." And then he said, "The difference is, I made the one in my right hand." He actually took ingredients and made a seed that looked exactly like the other seed. He said, "But I made this one in my right hand, but God made this one in my left hand. And when that one's planted in the ground, it brings forth life." And the point is, he said, the one I made looks exactly like the one God made, but the one that God made has, don't miss this, the germ of life in it. It has the germ of life. You see, right now this morning, we are here. We breathe. We have the breath of life in us. Remember, God made the first man, Adam, and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. This morning, every one of us who are here have the breath of life within us. Well, the interesting thing is the Bible is so absolutely unique. There's no other book like it. It's the Word of God. And when you read that book, it's as if God were speaking directly to you. And I realize there's some historical sections, there's some genealogies, but it is the living Word of God. And in fact, the Apostle Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So God's Word has the germ of life in it. And that's why Moses was saying to the people of Israel, "I want you to teach my Word to your children." It has the power to bring life to them. It has the power to encourage them to have a relationship with the true and the living God. Romans 15:4 says, "Whatsoever things were written before," Old Testament, "were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comforts of Scripture might have hope." And we could go down through. One time I read a list of 10 things that the Word of God does for us. It gives us peace. It gives us comfort. It gives us encouragement with regards to the future. All these things. And I did it in a Sunday school class, and the guy next to me said, "Would you go back over them again?" That's a lot of things. That's a lot of things you're saying the Bible does for us. And it does do a lot of things for us. It gives us peace. It gives us hope. It gives us encouragement because it's living and it's powerful. It has the gem of life. I heard a testimony this week on the radio, Brian Fisher, 90.5 FM. And he said a number of years ago he had a panic attack. And some of you know what that is like. And he said that it was bad. And he's been in ministry and he's been on radio for many years now. He said, I had a panic attack like I never had before in my life. And he said, I was shaken to the core. And I can relate to people who say that. One time I was getting a haircut. And the barber said, "I'm starting to have a panic attack." I said, "Lord, please be with him." I really did pray for him, though. And he was serious. He had to step away, and someone else came and finished cutting my hair. That's how serious it was. But Brian Fisher said when he had this panic attack, he said, all I could remember was one verse. And he says, I started saying it. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust. Psalm 18:2. Might want to jot it down. He said, I kept saying, Lord, you're my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust. And he said, I said it many, many times. And he said, eventually, the panic attack was gone. And he said, it was absolutely amazing how the Lord took it away when I used the Word of God. Remember, Jesus used the Word of God when he was tempted in the wilderness. Three times, he said, it is written. Each time Satan came with a temptation, he says, no, here's what the Word of God says. And obviously, Jesus, the Son of God, was in pure submission to the Father in heaven. In Psalm 107, verse 20, the psalmist said, the Lord sent his word and he healed them. So there's tremendous, sometimes even spiritual healing. A person's delivered from sin or an addiction when they realize that the Word of God says, if you will do this, if you will rely on the power of the Lord, if you will do this, you will be delivered. It says, he sent his word and he healed them. Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20. And then the writer of Proverbs said at the beginning of the Proverbs, he said, Proverbs 4:22, for God's words, they are life to those who find them. And wait to hear this. And health to their flesh. A lot of people have fallen into traps and become involved in things that they may see or may do that pull them down physically. But God says, if you'll follow my word and be encouraged by my word, it is amazing what the word of God will do for you. Now in this section, in verses 1 through 4, Moses is telling the fact that there is this great commandment given by the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ was asked the question, what is the first and greatest commandment? Now, when we're talking about something that's first and the greatest, you know, in the true sense, you can't exaggerate it. See what I'm saying? Somebody went to Jesus and said, Lord, what's the first and the very greatest commandment of all? And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:5, where it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And of course, that takes us to that study sheet that I gave you on the instructions for parents from the Word of God. The first thing that is very important is that we teach our children to love the Lord. Now, we can talk and go into a huge discussion on how we do that. But the greatest thing here is to realize, as it says on your study sheet, and I'm getting mine back out here, as it says on the study sheet, this passage of Scripture tells us that the single most powerful influence in a child's life is the visible, passionate love for the Lord Jesus Christ shown by his or her parents. There's no substitute for that. And I'm sure we won't take testimony time here, but many of you who are here would say, you know, I came to know Jesus as my Savior because I knew that my parents loved the Lord. Now, I knew my parents loved the Lord too. And they were very quick to say to us guys, three in the family, three boys, they were very quick to say, you know, we have not been perfect parents, but we love the Lord. I remember when I was still back up in New Jersey and my dad one day said, come here, I want to talk to you for a minute. And we sat there and he said, I don't know how much longer. He had one heart attack. He said, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around. But I want you to know this and a couple of things that he said. And he said, first of all, I know Jesus is my Savior and I'm going to be with him when I pass away. The second thing he said was, I want you to love the Lord. And I thought, wow, I should always remember that. I should always. He said, I want you to love the Lord and I want you to love the Bible, the Word of God, because it is instruction for you. And I'll never forget that. I can still see the time. I can still see the spot in the living room where we sat down to talk. So the Lord is very clear in his word that we are to understand the first and great commandment. And then what Moses does is he talks about the four results of keeping the law of the Lord. The first result is found in verse 2. Which was read for us, that you may fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, most of us have heard a lot of discussion on this, means that we acknowledge the majesty, the power, and the authority of the Lord. It does not really necessarily mean to be afraid of the Lord. Now, we don't want to disobey him, but Apostle John said, perfect love casts out fear. And so when we're to love the Lord, we're to fear the Lord, we're to acknowledge His majesty, power, and authority. He's an authority over all. There's no higher authority in our world than our Lord. It means to live in respect of Him, to fear the Lord, to respect Him. And in that respect, there's that trust. And this is easy to speak about and teach on a Sunday morning, but sometimes it's hard to put it into operation. But we do have to trust the Lord, do we not? When things are happening that we don't understand why, when things aren't going our way, you know, I guess the question is, am I still going to trust the Lord? Am I going to believe that I am His child and He's watching over me? And do I believe that verse? What's that? Romans 8:28? We believe that all things God causes to work together for good to those who love Him. So yes, he said that God gave us His law so that we would respect the Lord. And we respect Him by keeping His word, observing His word. And then you notice also in the reading in verse 2, it said God gave His law to Israel so that they might enjoy long life. Once in a while you'll find somebody say, I don't want to live a long life. God wants us to live a long life. He wants us to enjoy life. And we can do this when we remember that every breath we have and the life we have comes from Him. And our lives are ultimately in His hand. And we're here this morning by God's design. And we have life and breath, and we should be optimistic about the future. And we heard yesterday David Jeremiah say that Caleb, who was, I think it was 85 when he went into the promised land, take possession. And he said, one of the reasons Caleb was so vigorous is he was optimistic about the future. He realized that the future was in God's hands. And God had said that, you know, He's going to lead them into the land. He's going to drive out the enemies. They had to do their part. Well, Joshua was the only one that drove out the enemies. Amazing. And all the other people, they didn't drive out the enemies. And the enemies constantly were a snare to them. So secondly, that they might have long life. Thirdly, that it may go well with them. Wow. Did you see that in 3a? Hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe that it may be well with you. We used to tell the kids that came across the street from Delay Break, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, that God didn't give you those Ten Commandments to keep you bound up. God gave you the Ten Commandments so that it's going to go well with you. Just take one of the obvious ones. One of the obvious ones is, thou shalt not kill. Well, is someone who kills someone, are they going to be happy and is it going to go well with them? No, they're going to be very, very sorry that they killed someone. God gave the Ten Commandments to help us, that it may be well with us, and we can communicate that to our children. And fourthly, the fourth reason God gave His law was that they might increase greatly in the land, 3b. And of course, the phrase is used there that the land they were going into was a land that was flowing with milk and honey, just like Texas. It's an awesome land. Now, defining the great commandment. And remember, we said that Jesus says, this is the great commandment, the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord. And, you know, I had someone say to me not too awful long ago, wow, I want my children to learn the Bible, but I see that God is making it very clear that I'm to encourage the children to love the Lord. And we'll talk a little bit about how we do this and everything, but you'll notice that he talks about the fact that the parents were to teach the children and to define the great commandment. He starts out by saying God is to be loved supremely and exclusively. And in 4 and 5, that verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And this is called the Shema by the Jewish people. And the Shema, the word Shema means hear or listen. And when the Lord gave this to the people of Israel, He said, I want you to listen. How often have our parents, said to us, I want you to listen. Not just hear that I'm saying words, but I want you to listen. And God says He wants His people to listen to Him, to remember the words that He said to them. Love Him and remember their words, His words. Listen with a view to, in fact, the Hebrew word is very interesting. It means to listen with a view to understanding and obeying. And of course, in the New Testament, remember the Apostle James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Yesterday, one of the speakers said this. In fact, it was a representative from East Texas. Anybody remember his name? No. Louis Gomez. Anybody heard that name before? Yeah. He appears on TV once in a while. He's from East Texas. He's a congressman. And he was saying how God spoke to his heart to do something, to visit someone not well in the hospital. It was a little boy. And he took a cassette tape about heaven. And he took that to the hospital. And he said, boy, you know, God really spoke to me clearly. And he was talking about how God appeals to us to do certain things. And he took this tape and this cassette player to the hospital. And he left it with this 10-year-old boy. And it was after the boy went home to be with the Lord, he said that the dad came up to him and said, you'll never know what those two tapes that you brought about heaven meant to my son. 10 years old. And he said, where do you hear this? He said, the day that my son died, he said, Dad, go find those tapes. I want to hear that one on heaven. And he said, my son, the day he died, was listening to the tape you gave him about heaven. And he went up into the presence of the Lord. And so the congressman said this to us. When God speaks to you, do what he tells you to do and don't delay. And he said, I would like to tell you how much I almost didn't drive all the way over to Garland to that Christian bookstore and buy those two cassettes. I'd like to tell you the struggle I went through, but the Lord stayed with me and said, go get that tape. I've given you that idea, that concept, and give it to that boy. And what a blessing, he says, it is to obey the word of the Lord. Well, there's much more in this section of Scripture that's very encouraging, and we're going to glance just very, very quickly at the three things that come from the biblical principles for raising children. Number one, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Number two, God's word must be in your heart. And the encouragement in relationship to this is do more in relationship to memorizing Scripture so that it can be a part of your thoughts. You know, when you leave church today, instead of eating first, yeah, you're listening pretty good. Buy some 3x5 cards. Take some passages of Scripture that will be encouragement to you. Write them out and allow the Word of God to become a part of your life and your system. It's amazing what the Lord will do. God's word, he says, must be in your heart. And lastly, as many of you know this passage real well, he said, share with your children the things that you learn from the word of God. Not only should we share with our children, but encourage others. Maybe you know somebody and they're having struggle at work. Maybe it was somebody else who's not doing their job or something. You can encourage them and help them to understand. Look, God understands this. Be real careful with what you say and what you do, because God can use you as you are relating to someone who's not pulling their share of the load rather than you flying off the handle. Remember that proverb? It says, a soft answer turns away wrath. And we heard many men give testimonies of how God allowed them to very carefully share what God has done in their life. So this is a beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture. And may it be an encouragement to each one of us. Let's pray together.